Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 14, studying Matthew chapter 14, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we get started, these reminders. For unlimited access to all of our materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For an email listing of our free materials, email us at free@ighradio.com. To receive text updates, just text the word IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word, text IGHFREE to 55222. Two convenient ways to study God's Word. First, a self-paced, totally online Bible study program. Get started by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, a 30-lesson Bible course by mail. To request it, either call this toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988 or send a message using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's return to our study of Matthew chapter 14. We continue our discussion of Matthew 14, taking up where we left off, explaining why John called Herod out about his marriage to Herodias. Remember, John's message was always repentance-centric. In Luke 3, John told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they needed to repent and to produce fruit as proof, that is, as evidence in their lives that they had done so. John gave specific real-life advice to those who asked how repentance would affect their lives. First, John instructed those who had more than what they needed, either in food or clothing, to be willing to give to those who needed those things. Second, John directed tax collectors to be fair in their financial dealings. And third, John taught soldiers not to abuse their authority and to be content with their wages. In brief, John's message, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, demanded changed lives, lives that reflected real-life, everyday examples of repentance. Moreover, both key elements of John's preaching, repentance and baptism, demanded changed lives. In belief and behavior, repentance demanded changed lives. In faith and in practice, baptism also demanded changed lives. Together, they reinforced the necessity of living righteously as Jesus' kingdom disciples. The only explicit message that we read in Scripture that John delivered to Herod was this: "It is not lawful for you to have her." Matthew 14, verse 4. Mark's parallel account differs only slightly, reading, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Mark 6, verse 17 and following. At some point in his ministry, John told Herod that by having, by taking, by marrying his brother's wife, he did what was unlawful. What does that mean? What did John intend? And what did Herod understand when John said, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife"? To answer that question accurately, we need to do some background study. That background study will take us back to Genesis chapter 2. We will see that what John held Herod and Herodias accountable to were principles and practices that God first taught Adam and Eve. God initiated the institution of marriage. That word, institution, seems cold, calculating, even mechanical, and not at all loving, kind, caring, compassionate, or personally relational. So, let's change that to simply say that God initiated, that God designed marriage. God created it for a purpose, many purposes, actually. God created marriage in harmony with His will and according to His directives. But, like so much of what God has done for our benefit, marriage, its purposes, and its principles, and its practices has been corrupted. The first hint of that appears in Genesis 4, when we read the text that simply says, Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. Genesis 4, verse 19. There appears no commentary, no explanation in the text of Genesis 4 to shed light on what Lamech did or why he did it. This brief declaration just appears in the general context of the genealogy that connects Adam and his sons with Noah, the next central character in the Genesis narrative. Lamech, as presented in Genesis 4, appears to be a rather strong-willed character, something that's magnified in what else we read about him in the passage. He not only took two wives, but Lamech claimed to have killed someone for wounding him. And, to add a huge degree of apparent exaggeration into the mix, Lamech proclaimed that if Cain was to be avenged sevenfold, he should be avenged 70-fold. Sounds a bit brash, doesn't it? Let's think through why these remarks about Lamech, specifically about his two wives, appears in Genesis chapter 4. The first readers, or the first hearers of this passage, would have been the children of Israel during Moses' day, more than likely as they traveled the wilderness during the 40 years. It would, according to what we read in Joshua, a text that repeatedly accentuated that what was first revealed through Moses would also be revealed through his successor. It would also be a message that would have been repeated during his, that is, Joshua's leadership. What God first stated about marriage in the closing verses of Genesis 2 and the brief reference to Lamech's two wives in Genesis 4 would have been completely in sync with other texts about marital responsibility and marital accountability under the law of Moses. That Genesis chapter 4 referenced something that happened much earlier in the genealogy much closer to Adam, those first readers, those first hearers would have, should have, realized that God's arrangement concerning marriage that was ordained earlier in Genesis 2 meant enough to God that he noted the distinctive aberration of Lamech in Genesis 4, verse 19. Fast forward now to John's confrontation with Herod. In this context, the particulars of which we know next to nothing, John lets Herod know that he has no business, no right, no lawful right to have, to take, to marry another man's wife. That message, as both Matthew and Mark tell us, did not go over too well. In Mark's account, it appears to have had a greater negative impact on Herodias, Herod's new wife, the one taken from his brother, than it did on Herod himself. Mark's record indicates the same thing, as does Matthew, when Mark wrote, "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he," that's Herod, "he had married her, because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" That's Mark 6, 17 and 18. But Mark adds this following thought, "Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly." Mark 6, 19 and 20. That gives a new perspective to what we first encountered in Matthew's text. Remember, Matthew tells us that Herod laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison. Why did he do so? Matthew continues, "For the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife." And what prompted that? John's statement that it is not lawful for you to have her. By itself, Matthew's record appears to place most of the blame for John's imprisonment on Herod. Mark's narrative, however, indicates Herodias held it, that is, John's unlawful assessment of their marriage, that she held it against him, and that she, Herodias, wanted to kill John. Mark also tells us that she, Herodias, could not, that is, she could not kill John because Herod feared John. And Mark goes on to say, Herod feared John knowing that he was a just and holy man. Thus, Herod protected him. that presents an interesting paradox. Herod knew that John was just and holy. Herod protected John. When Herod heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. We do not know, because we are not told, what else John said in Herod's presence when Herod heard him gladly. Nor do we know what Herod did when the text tells us that he did many things, but there was obviously more to what happened than what we first read in Matthew's account. But in spite of all of these seemingly positive affections that Herod had for John, Herod imprisoned him. Both Matthew's and Mark's record, however, appear to indicate that the initial, or at least the stronger, offense was on Herodias' part and not on Herod's. And it appears that Herod capitulated twice, first to Herodias in having John imprisoned, and then second to her daughter, really Herodias again, in having John put to death. Just a quick side thought about the slight differences that we find in Mark's and Matthew's record of this. Remember, Matthew's objective, though no different than Mark's, Luke's, and John's on a large scale, as all of them wrote to defend and or to prove the deity of Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew's objective incorporated facts, teachings, events, and so forth about the life of Christ that related to the specific audience that Matthew was writing to, namely a Jewish audience. The gospel records are complementary and supplementary too, but they are not identical. Mark included incidental details that help us understand more clearly what Matthew was addressing. So, where does that leave us? Specifically, where does that leave us about John's statement to Herod? What law did Herod violate? Mark tells us that Herod married Herodias, chapter 6, verse 17. Both Matthew and Mark tell us that John said that it is not lawful for you to have her, Matthew, or to have your brother's wife, Mark. Was it a legal issue? Was it a moral issue? Why did it apply to Herod? Did it also apply to anyone else? And what was the primary, the fundamental principle that God, through John, wanted Herod to know and to follow? In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 14. This reminder as we close, consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.